Glad I came to church today with all the blessings of singing and fellowship and prayer and word. And please come next week, invite some people. Shelley Prindle will be bringing the message. God has given her a wonderful gift to look into His Word and give good news out. If you haven't heard Shelley do that, come with an open heart. And I'm inviting my neighbor who hadn't been here for a while. So we're going to have a good plan for that. Thank you, Shelley, for serving that way. She'll be in Psalm 139. Very good. Paul Simon, the famous singer, once sang a song entitled Slip Sliding Away. It's not a winter song, but it has to do with his view of life and how everything seemed to come undone at various points in his own soul. And one of the phrases in the song goes like this: God only knows. God makes His plans. The information is unavailable to the mortal man. The nearer your destination, the more you're slip sliding away. And for Paul Simon, he thought, well, if God had a plan, He wasn't telling Paul Simon much about it. And he was a little bit afraid of that. He says, I don't know if I like the fact that God has a plan. And He doesn't give us the information that He has. And so in Paul Simon's own soul, maybe he had a chip on his shoulder about the Lord and about what he would accomplish in his life. Now, in the Bible, when God has plans, it's to give the believer security and confidence. Our best and most powerful loved one, he's going to do something. And he's thought ahead of time about this, and he's going to pull it off. Okay, he's going to bring it to pass. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to bless, not to give you a rough time. That's Jeremiah 29. So in the Bible, in a good way, and we got to get past the word that's used in the passage, or embrace it, God predestined. In other words, he had a plan. He's working before we knew work and what work was. And He predetermines to love us. He predetermines to bring the gift of His Son to us. He predetermines to help us in every way possible live a life knowing His presence. So we're glad about that. I mean, He could have backed off on all those things and said, hey, you guys figure it out. He did not do that. One of the most encouraging verses about God's predestining things, putting them together and fitting them together. Well, there's two of them, I think. Hebrews chapter 12, where Jesus is called the author and finisher of our faith. So He writes the book on how our soul is going to look to God. He carries us through life, you know, with His strength. He gets us to the finish line when we think, I'll never make it. God does that for us, finisher of our faith. And, of course, Romans 8:28, God works all things for good for those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. If you get a call at home, sometimes you like it, sometimes not. When God calls, it's a good call. You want to hear from Him and embrace Him choosing you. In college, we used to sit around, and I was a young Christian at the time, and talk about different things at the cafeteria. And we'd talk about the food, we'd talk about classes, responsibilities, we'd talk about sports, talk about girls, and we'd start talking about the Lord because we were Christians at the time. And we would occasionally look across the cafeteria, point to another Christian, snicker, and say, you see that guy over there? He believes in predestination. Poke each other. Say, can you believe it? Anybody would believe that nowadays. You know, it explains his frozen personality. I don't know what's wrong with him. Stay away from him. You're not going to be able to get along with him too well. Well, I started to flip through the Bible as time went on. We'd come across that word four or five times. Say, uh-oh. You know, what am I going to do with this? Let's skip over this. I don't understand it, so it can't possibly be of any benefit to me if I can't understand it. Right? No, God wants us to hear His voice in every line and make each faithful saying mine, as the song says. So if you look in the Bible, God plans for good things to happen in our lives and to draw our souls to Him from long ago. And that's to give us a sense of trust in Him and faith in Him. He uses the word election, for example, 2012, big election year in our country. God looks at you and says, I vote for you to receive my son. And what are you going to say? Hooray? Or are you going to say, you can't vote for me. I vote for myself. God says, I predestined to share news about my son with you. And sometimes that's beyond our reason. Was shared in staff meeting this past week. One of the chief purposes of reason, thinking things out, is to show us there are some things beyond reason. I think that was either Vicki or Shelley who shared that. Shelley. Okay. But in Ephesians chapter 1, there's a list of blessings that God would give us. The Holy Spirit tells us about these. Forgiveness of sins, redemption, being loved just like Jesus is loved, chosen in the Beloved. Well, here's some other ones that the Lord puts together and is meant to minister to our soul. Verse 4, God chose us in Christ before the creation of the world. I don't know if you noticed that as Charlie was praying about God's relationship with us. Chose us before the creation of the world. What does that mean? I think it's nice to think, well, before God named the earth, He named you. He knows who you are from eternity past. That's a good plan for your life. Sending news of His Son to your own soul. Verse 5, in love God predestined us. So in the Bible, love and predestination go together, according to the Lord. And normally I don't think of it that way. I think of it, predestination is a nuisance for my brain to try to figure out. But God reveals His heart through teaching about His pre-choosing to bless and bring news of His Son. Verse 9, God purposed in Christ the mystery of His will. He has a purpose. Verse 11, the plan of God who works out everything. I think Ephesians 1:11 is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. It's almost an expansion of Romans 8:28, which says God works for those who love Him. Ephesians 1:11 says this, God works out everything for His good purpose. And the pagan guy who's yet to receive Christ, and in the Christian, works out everything according to His good purpose. God is a benevolent micromanager. Now, if you use the word micromanager in reference to another person, it's probably meant to be detrimental. We say about those who micromanage, they're a what? A control freak. Okay, you don't want to be around that kind of person too long. But in the Bible, humanity and man has a quest to be God Almighty Himself. That's when we try to control everything around us as much as possible. God says, hey, I'm the one who works out everything for my purpose. So you let the Lord do that. Let Him work in the details of life, and you'll find His heart toward yourself and His love toward yourself. And I think all people who believe there is a God have a wish that God would plan something and guide their lives and lead them and be involved. I mentioned a couple years ago the actress Lily Tomlin, who played the character of a bag lady in a drama. And she had no food, she had no place to stay, and she just wondered about life in her own self. And in the play, she looks up into the sky, sees all the beautiful stars, and says, "I wonder what part I play in the grand design of the universe." There she is, barely eking out an existence, And then she turns and she says, and I wonder if there is a grand design for the universe. And the Lord would speak to our hearts and say, oh yes. Oh yeah, you have a part of it. I draft you. I choose you to have a part of it. And I think all born-again Christians will often on ask the question, I don't know what God's doing in my life. I'm counting on Him to be working ahead of time before I get involved in something. I count on His calling my life, or I'll get lost. I'll get confused. Abraham heard the call of God and he went. He tried to work out the plan in his own strength. He constantly messed it up. God says, let me bring this about. You just keep trusting me. And Abraham was thankful and blessed and happy with that close relationship with the Lord. So here's a few examples of the Lord planning ahead in people's lives and people being blessed by it. And they are predestined events, you might say. So we could rejoice in these. And again, I think it's an issue of trust between us and the Lord. First of all, the statement, all Bible prophecy is an example of predestination. All Bible prophecy. For example, in the life of Jesus, he would be born in Bethlehem, give his life on a cross, raised from the dead. All those would come again. All those things, God said, I'm going to bring this about. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Okay? He has an absolute free will about that. And in fact, we just finished up Christmas in Isaiah when it was describing the Messiah. One of the phrases says this, the zeal of the Lord of hosts would accomplish this. So God says, I'm going to do this, and there's no stopping me. And there's no stopping what I'm going to do. And to me, that I'm glad about that. I know the Lord is faithful to keep his word. Humanity, myself included, of course, says, we'll do this, that's for sure. And the best laid plans of men and mice are pretty small in there. But that's an example of predestination, Bible prophecy. In love, he predestined things. Jeremiah chapter 1, God says, Jeremiah, before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to, we said, Ethiopia. There it was. God saying, Rachel Wilson, I'm going to put it in her heart and wire her that she's going to be very able and desirous to go and share my good news with other people in different countries. And the Lord blesses when we know he's working that way. I think the Lord appoints all callings in life that you have. For example, whatever you're doing as a task, I think God says, hey, I want you to do that. You know, that call is in your life, that job, those relationships. Now, it starts to make life pretty holy and pretty exciting. My neighbor is not just, you know, somebody who gives me a headache occasionally. It's somebody who the Lord puts in my life so I can love. And they can be blessing across the way. And that's how the Lord works. He appoints. Psalm 139. David said, all my days were ordained for me. That's both a humbling thought and a happy thought. So David said, the day I was born, I didn't pick that. God picked that. The day my life is over, I didn't pick that. God picked that. Every day in between. January 15th, 2012. God says, I ordain a lot of things for you to get to know me. We say, thank you, Lord, for being involved. You know, I thought it was just like Sunday in the middle of January. We're just going to top it out through the cold weather here. No, it's something from God's heart to you and I. God worked predestination in John the Baptist's life. He was filled with the Holy Spirit since he was born. How'd you like to have that in your family, you know? The two-year-olders filled with the Holy Spirit. Wonder what that looks like there. And in the life of the Apostle Paul in the church, predestined us to be conformed to the image of Christ. How would we turn out otherwise? Oh boy, we'd turn out just like a bunch of religious schmucks. You know, being hard-headed about this, that, and the other, but not really reflecting who Jesus is. God works. He says he predestines that. Even in the life of Jesus, Revelation 13, Jesus is described as the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. So God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, you know, I'm going to express love to people by an ultimate sacrifice to deal with this devastating sin problem. Son, let's go for it. And then Jesus was willing as God the Son. And it was difficult for him as a man. So before we look at the statements about predestination and application. Let your heart be yielded to God in reference to that, like other parts of the Bible. I recognize I'm with you in that the fact that the word predestination gives me a negative emotional connotation. Okay, if you struggle with that. So I'm in with you in that way. Gives you a negative emotional connotation. However, if God says it in the Bible and connects it to Jesus and connects it to love and connects it to Him, there's got to be some freedom in there for your soul and my soul. And in the Bible, by the way, God does not explain how predestination and your choices and my choices fit together. He simply doesn't. Or anybody else's choices, for that matter. And the brightest minds in the history of the world have tried to put those things together. None of them have done it to anybody else's satisfaction. Okay, so you could give yourself some mercy if you can't figure it out. C.S. Lewis, he gave it a shot. He was about as bright as anybody. He said, this predestination thing, he said, predestination and real freedom are the same thing. I don't know how he came up with that, but appeared to be he liked God in his life really strongly. So generally, people can't make heads or tails out of predestination, but it gives honor to God. Okay, God chooses us, mentioned twice, predestines us. And it reminds me of our yielding to God in other areas. We don't understand the grace of God. Why should He love us so? That's a bigger mystery than predestination. The Trinity. Reminds me of a story I told Wednesday folks of Donald Barnhouse. He used to have question and answer with people in Sunday school. And the young Christian raised his hand and said, Dr. Barnhouse, I don't understand how the shoes of the Israelites didn't wear out after trekking around for so long. You know, what do you mean they didn't wear out? That doesn't make any sense. And Dr. Barnhouse said, I only have one word answer for you. God. And then the young man said, oh, okay, I understand now. And Dr. Barnhouse said, my friend, no, you don't understand. Nobody understands. And there's a sense that a lot of what God tells us in the Bible, it's okay to say, I don't understand. I don't even understand what happened yesterday. But I know God is working. I know He's loving. I know He's true and powerful. And might you take that for your soul as you walk with Him. So here's a few things that might be of help to you in regards to God working from all eternity past on your behalf. God chooses to love us. I somehow missed, there it is. Predestination, a revelation, not a speculation, a doctrine, not a debate. Just embrace that truth from God's Word. It meant to comfort, not to confuse. So say, Lord, let me meet Jesus in this teaching. That's the whole point of the teaching, right? Let me meet Jesus in this. We count on Him knowing what He's doing for our lives and for the future. God chooses to love us. Loves us for a long time. And were you ever chosen last for anything? I think seventh grade, they were picking teams for a play or something, and I didn't say much, so to let you know, we'll take him. There's nobody else left to take. Sure, come over here. You could be one of the prop holders, you know. Ever chosen last for something? I was chosen last for a job one time. I knew that three guys ahead of me had interviewed, and they all said no. So I was like the last one chosen, and they said, "Yeah, we don't have anybody else. So come on, you know." And, you're not sure if that's a blessing or not. But when God chose you to love you, you know what? You were not chosen last. You were chosen first. God says, I want this one. I'm telling my son about my son to him. And I'm going to warm their heart up. So they say yes. You're chosen by God. You'll have to never feel like nobody ever chose you again. God Almighty chose you. The Lord chose to create us. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. That goes for the glory of Christ in the church, by the way. I know a lot of people, they would create the church a lot different than it is now. You know what? They're off the wall. Jesus creates the church like he wants it. Grows it at his pace. We say, thank you, Lord, for that plan. God chooses to proclaim the gospel of his Son to us. We were lost. We get the co-labor in that. God chooses to appoint our days. And he's the biggest one working in your life each day of the week. And just a last simple application. God chooses our physical and personality traits and our spiritual gifts. So if you're loud, God wants you to be loud. You know, be loud in a loving way. If you're quiet, God wants you to be quiet. Do that in a God-honoring way. I've often prayed for the gift of miracles, okay, so that I could see God do tremendous things. And it didn't even have to be, it could be like a undercover miracle gift. You know, you want somebody to get better, it's a miracle, that's great. But God says, no, I'm not going to give you that gift, at least not right now. Apparently I would misuse it. Okay, but that's the Lord's way. Other gifts from God working ahead. God is always the biggest one in the room. Again, he works everything according to the purpose of his will. You know, in the lost world, they say, we don't want to deal with something. It's the elephant in the room nobody wants to talk about. Well, God is the biggest one in the room who is meant to influence us. Yield the floor to him. You know, let him have his direction-giving power in whatever room you're in. In the sanctuary room, God's always the biggest one in the room. Classroom, living room, emergency room. When you wonder what's going to happen, God's the biggest one there. Funeral home room, people come and visit. Big room in heaven, God has prepared for you. He is the biggest one there. We thank him for his pre-getting there before we do. God's always the biggest one in our trials. Hebrews 13:5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, what a solid anchor that the Lord serves for us, the rock in which we could put our faith. Johnny Erickson Tata has as many trials as anybody that we know. She's paralyzed for approximately 40 years. She's fighting cancer now. She has said, you know, when she thinks of the difficulties of life, she says, all trials, great and small, the good Lord is in them all. Now, I wouldn't necessarily share that with somebody who I go to the hospital and see. You know, they just had some painful procedure. And I could say, you know, God's in that painful thing you're going through. But God wants us to know that ahead of time, that he'll somehow sustain us and allow us to see him there. Vance Havner had a story about this. He said, you know, even when a dearest one in your life is not there because of death, you could see God predestining the safety of the loved one in Christ. He went up to the little girl and said, 10-year-old little girl, sorry, dear, that you lost your daddy. And she says, well, I didn't lose my daddy. I know where he is. He's with Jesus. So I didn't lose him. And God preparing. Aren't you glad he prepares? And God makes each moment a divine appointment with him. Heaven and earth are filled with God, Jeremiah 23 says. And even in the times of our life where we wrestle with God the most and we wrestle with life the most, and we come away injured, like Jacob in the Bible. Oh, I needed help. And when I prayed, I came out worse than before my prayer. You ever have that happen? Well, Jacob did. And yet, through the whole thing, he said, God was in that place. I didn't necessarily know it, but God was there. He was meeting Jacob ahead of time. You could meet God that way too. Because he's faithful. He chooses to reach out to you in love and chooses to offer salvation to you. Now, just in closing, if you and I don't get in on God's will, we say, forgive me, I'm not interested in His predestined will for me. We should know it's His will that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So it's His will that you receive Him and follow Him. It's His will, your sanctification. And if you betray Jesus at that point, you say, not your will. Someone said, I think it was C.S. Lewis, if you betray Jesus, everything will betray you. You think about the devastation of that. The things you put your life into, they're going to crumble into ashes. All the relationships that are important to you, they're going to slip through your hands. It's like Paul Simon there. You're going to feel like you're slip-sliding away. And, what you give your soul to, it's going to be empty. If you betray Jesus, everything else betrays you. But if you trust Him, His goodwill and His way, you'll say, He's life and life in abundance for my soul. Would you take His goodwill for you and receive Him and follow Him and be a child of His as He has chosen to adopt you as such? Let's pray together.